I'd like to invite your attention tonight to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we will be looking at verses 22 through 26 with a special emphasis on verse 24. That verse has been on my mind this week, but really to understand verse 24 of Psalm 118, we have to understand the verses surrounding it. It's much like many verses or all verses in the Bible, we always got to be careful about taking a verse out of context. You know, you ever heard that? It's kind of a joke. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. And so we want to make sure we get the correct meaning of this. But Psalm 118, beginning in verse 22, we read, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, what it means to us. Lord, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, just open our hearts tonight. Help me, your unworthy servant, as I read and proclaim your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Psalm 118, verse 24, is a popular verse. If you're on social media, Facebook, it's often quoted. You'll see it. It'll have a pretty picture. And it is a beautiful verse. It's been very popular seeing it Baptist church camps, especially when you're just getting up in the morning, you're saying, "This is the day." You might even have a contest. One's say this: "This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made." Any of y'all ever been in a camp like that? Well, I have. And, and kind of to wake you up, get you going. But what is the context of Psalm 118 and verse 24? Well, Psalm 118 is a psalm of thanksgiving. And if you read the entire psalm, you'll see that. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It is psalm. It is quoted many times in the New Testament and has a messianic theme that points to Jesus Christ. And Martin Luther called Psalm 118 his favorite psalm out of all the psalms. And he even said, "I love it so much that I call it my psalm." That's how much he loved it. So it's a powerful psalm that points to Jesus Christ. We don't know who wrote it. There's various theories. Many Bible scholars believed it was written for a special festival, that it was, wrote during the time of Ezra for the laying of the foundation of the new temple. That's all speculation. But what all agree is that it points to Christ. Psalm 118 points to Christ. And I want us to focus, as I said, we're going to look at verse 24 is the key verse that I was really focusing on. But in order to understand it, you need to understand these verses that flank it, that are surrounding it, which give it, which help you to understand the meaning of this beautiful verse. Verses 22 and 23, I'll read that quickly again. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this, of course, is quoted much in the New Testament. Now, these verses here, when originally written, were a time of, they were read or sung, more specifically, during a time of praise. It's Bible scholars have shown that this psalm was sung during the Feast of Tabernacles and during the Passover. And as I said earlier, it may have even been sung at the rebuilding of the temple during the time of Ezra. But when you read this, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is using some terminology for ancient building practices, the cornerstone, the foundation here of this building. But the context of the original readers who would have probably understood this, or it was looking at Israel as that stone which the builders rejected, it is rejected by the surrounding nations, the imperial powers. And yet it is through them, God's chosen people, that the Messiah is coming, that He is coming. It points to Christ, and this is the Lord's doing. Now, the New Testament gives us a much even greater clarity on these two verses. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 21, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 44, the parable of the tenants. And Jesus will use this psalm to explain this parable. Jesus states in verse 33, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it around about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Jesus in this parable describes the servants sent to these people who ran the vineyard. These servants, no doubt referring to the Old Testament prophets who ancient Israel rejected over and over and over again. And then finally, he says, I'll send my son. And what do? They kill him. And that's no doubt a reference to Jesus himself. And Jesus says, what are they going to do? What will that Lord do? And he says, he's going to destroy them and put others over it. And Jesus quotes Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23. And he says, have you not read this? And he says, therefore, the kingdom of God is going to be taken from you and given into another nation. Now, this other nation is talking about the church. It's talking about that we know, folks, that God was about to gather in a new people in the New Testament. That unlike in the Old Testament, where he made in the Old Covenant, there was one particular nation. And the New Covenant, it's going to be neither Jew nor Gentile. He's going to draw in another people. And And any states, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder, meaning judgment on those who reject it. And if you read down, the chief priests and the Pharisees perceived that he was speaking of them. The apostle Peter will also speak on this in just, Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4. Verses 10 through 12, when the apostle Peter was standing trial, he would use these verses also. Verse 22 in his sermon, he states in Acts 4:10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter spoke to these unbelieving Jews, this council. He says, "Let it be known that this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised him from the dead, that he's the stone which the builders have rejected." What Psalm 118? They would have known this psalm. It was quoted so well. And he's saying, you're the ones who rejected the stone. You. That's what Jesus was telling them also that they were doing. And then he says, there's no salvation in any other than him. You know, we got a lot of people, even some in some so-called Christian churches today, who will teach other ways of salvation. Jesus may be the best way, but he's not the only way. But they're contradicting Scripture. They're contradicting what Jesus said in the Bible in John 14:6. And they're contradicting the words of the Apostle Peter. Peter's not... There's no give in this, is it? He says there's no salvation in any other that people may be saved. It was Thomas Boston, great Scottish Presbyterian pastor of many years ago, who said that Jesus, that he is the Savior of all men. That is, he said, Jesus has the patent on salvation. There is no other way other than Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is still rejected, is he not? He is the stone the builders rejected. He is the stone that people still reject, that you see around you each and every day, who are still rejecting him. And when you read those verses about stumbling over him, that refers many people. They'll stumble over him. They will stumble to their own damnation. And then it speaks about him falling on those, referring, I believe, to the second coming, that he will bring his judgment on those who reject him. Now that brings us to verse 24, going back to Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So verses 22 and 23 point to Jesus as that stone which the builders rejected, the Messiah. And it's marvelous in our eyes, states in verse 23. So what is verse 24? We can't just isolate verse 24 and make it into like a Chinese, you know, fortune cookie, you know, how you just take a scripture and take it. Well, verse 24 is referring to back to verses 22 and 23. It's not an isolated. He says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What is the day? The day of salvation. The day of salvation. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, how we should think on that verse every day, I believe. What the meaning of that verse? This is the day of salvation. Look, there's a reason, folks, why we meet on Sundays now to worship, why the early church moved from the old Jewish Sabbath to the first day of the week. because Jesus arose on a Sunday morning. He arose. And when I read this verse, I cannot help but think about that. Thinking about the empty tomb, the risen Christ, and the finished work that He did on the cross, and Him rising from the dead. The Apostle John, in Revelation 1, called Sunday the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is when death, hell, and the grave was defeated. And we remember that here Sunday. We remember that special remembrance on the Lord's Supper when we remember our salvation in Jesus Christ and the benefits that we have in Christ, that we have been set free, that we have had our sins paid for by His body and blood. So every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. But I want to also take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. I noticed in my preaching Bible here, I had already wrote this verse down, but it had a reference at verse 24 in Psalm 118 to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, though this verse is actually a quotation from Isaiah 49:8. But how appropriate it is, even that it seems to be also very similar to Psalm 118, verse 24. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every time we read Psalm 18, verse 24, we should think, as I said earlier, on Christ crucified. His resurrection. And this is the day of salvation, that God's kingdom is going forth through the spreading of the gospel. I had a friend of mine was talking to me about involved in some sort of Bible study group, and she was saying that, you know, they were saying that we as Christians, that we need to be involved in every part. It sounds good at first. It says be in every part of society to change it. And I said, well, we are to be salt, you know, in this world and to be the light. She said, you know, it's kind of like we're supposed to influence. And then I mentioned a pastor that I heard, it's not one I know, but he's a famous one. Said, yeah, they quote him. I said, yeah, that's dominion theology, which is common among some in the charismatic, some extreme charismatic, that we are called to take dominion over the world. It's very similar in Reformed theology. You have some hold to theonomy. It's very similar to, that we are to take control of, you know, art and government. But really, folks, it's through the gospel that people's hearts are changed. It's not through, you know, through us trying to influence. You can make Christian movies. You can make Christian music. But in the end, it's the gospel, isn't it? You know, every new day of life, we should give thanks. Say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Your heart's beating. You got, you know, lungs in your body. But more than that, knowing that Christ is risen, God is good, heaven awaits, and that God is extending His salvation to a lost human race. Oh, today is the day of salvation. And then we go to verse 25. Verse 25, going back to Psalm 118. In verse 26, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Connecting back to verse 24, save now. This is the day the Lord hath made. This is the day of salvation. Save now. And these two verses are also quoted in the New Testament, going back to Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 through 11, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on that day, we often refer to as Palm Sunday, we read in verse 9, "And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Jesus was greeted by multitudes saying, "Hosanna." And that word Hosanna is a Greek word that means Lord save. It's put into one word what is said in multiple words in Psalm 118 verse 25. But they are singing this psalm, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Save now, Lord, the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Save now." I don't believe, and I know for certain that they didn't completely understand what they were saying, because we know what happened a few days later. Many of the same group would be saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." For they were looking for a different type of Savior when they were quoting Psalm 118. But it's so true that they did not completely understand that Jesus was the Savior, but he was coming to deliver them from sin, not from dominion from the Roman Empire. Jesus himself would refer to Psalm 118 in verse 26 in the lament, two chapters over in Matthew 23. In verse 37 through 39, where he lamented, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Here a little bit later in this same week, after Jesus was greeted in Jerusalem, Jesus knew their hearts. And he just lamented, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You're the one that kills the prophets," just like he stated in that parable. "You kill the prophets that come to you. I would gather you as the mother hen gathers her chickens, but you would not. Your house is left unto you desolate," probably referring to the temple there, because after the crucifixion and the resurrection, that temple, those sacrifices were fulfilled in him. And he said, "You will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." No doubt pointing to his second coming. Look, folks, there's so many today who they don't know who Christ is. They're much like these unbelievers. They don't realize that this is the day the Lord hath made. This is the day of salvation. The other day at work, one of our maintenance people, he likes to go around as he's doing his work. He's got his little cart he pushes. He sings old gospel hymns. He's got a beautiful voice. I mean, he's got a great voice. And he came singing a hymn and I said, "Mr. Clarence, you need to stay up here and sing to these people when they come in the store, these gospel hymns." He has a voice. And he liked. He said, "What's your favorite hymn?" And I said, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." We sang that this morning. That's my favorite hymn. I just love that. You know, there's one phrase, you know, "He lives that death may die." Is not that true? Is not that hope? We look to that day when we will be with our Lord. As believers in Christ, we can read and sing with joy, Psalm 118, verse 24, and understand it as the day of salvation for all who come unto Christ, all He calls. Oh, what a joy that is. But I see so many people today who look so sad and depressed, and who are really just, they don't have much hope in this life. And I tell you what, there is not no hope in this life, not apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, it is hopeless. Only in Christ Jesus do people have hope. There is no other. And I want to close out with first reading the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58, where the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul declares, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, that this is the day the Lord hath made, that He is making all things new through the spreading of the gospel, that hearts are being changed through the word of God preached and the Holy Spirit convicting and bringing many to eternal life. Oh, we just give you praise and thanks. And we look for that glorious day when we will enter into your glory and sing praises and rejoice in that eternal day of celebration of the salvation we have in you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.